This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. We learned recently that music lyrics, at least as defined by the Nobel Prize Committee, can be deemed literature. This term, the U.S. Supreme Court will consider whether literature can be the basis for law. The case Moore v. Texas will take up whether the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals violated the Eighth Amendment and judicial precedent by using outdated medical criteria and a fictional character as a test for real-life capital cases. That character is Lenny, the intellectually disabled killer from John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men.
You can't keep a job. You get in trouble. You do bad things, and I got to get you out all the time.
You want us to go away and leave you alone? We could go off in them hills down and find a cave.
How'd you eat? You ain't got sense enough to find nothing to eat.
The Texas court ruled that in determining culpability for murder by low IQ defendants, a Lenny standard should apply. Adam Liptak covers the high court for the New York Times. Adam, welcome back to the big show.
Good to be here, Bob.
The Lenny standard?
When I first saw it, I thought it was a reference to some old legal precedent, but it turns out to be a reference to a fictional character that the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, its highest court for criminal matters, said is a touchstone for deciding who should and should not be subject to execution.
And it's a checklist. Can you give me the highlights?
Has the person formulated plans and carried them through, or is his conduct impulsive?
I guess Lenny done it all right, or next bust.
Lenny committed murder, but impulsively.
Well, I guess we gotta get him.
Couldn't you bring him in and lock him up? He's nuts. He never done this to be mean.
Or,
what'd you take out of that pocket?
Can the person hide facts or lie effectively?
There's nothing in the pocket, George.
I know it ain't. You got it in your hand. Now, what you got in your hand?
George, that's in my mouth. But I didn't kill it, George. Honest, I found it there.
And it was these kinds of takeaways about Lenny's character that made their way into Texas law.
Now, if you look at the whole list, they seem like pretty good questions to be answered in evaluating whether the defendant really knew what he was doing when he committed the crime. On the other hand, there was a pretty established body of law, including an entire amendment to the Constitution, that covered this issue. You know, I'm wondering what about the existing law, including Supreme Court precedent, Judge Kathy Cochran deemed wanting.
The Supreme Court in 2002 said we're going to categorically bar the execution of the intellectually disabled under a more conventional three-part test that looks to IQ, looks to whether they can take care of themselves, can conduct the normal business of life, have what in legal terms they called adaptive functions, and whether these qualities appeared before the person reached age 18. So there was that three-part test. The Supreme Court established it at the same time in 2002. It told the states, listen, we're not going to micromanage this. You guys will have substantial leeway. And the question now for the justices is whether Texas's application of that standard, partly based on this discussion of Lenny and partly based on the fact that the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals recently has said that it's okay to look at outdated medical standards from 1992, as opposed to more contemporary ones in deciding whether this inmate should be executed.
Tell me about the subject of this case, Bobby Moore himself.
Bobby Moore had a very hard time in school, eventually took to the streets, ended up as a young man killing James McCarmel, a 70-year-old grocery clerk, in 1980 in Houston. So when a state judge conducted a hearing not long ago about whether Mr. Moore was or was not intellectually disabled, he took into account his IQ, which has been measured several times, and it's gone as high as 78, as low as 57, averaging around 70, which is roughly where the Supreme Court says that intellectual disability starts as a general matter. And he looked at how good he was at things like telling time, knowing what day of the week it is. And those were things that Mr. Moore can't handle. On the other hand, the state says the way he committed the crime by putting on a wig and hiding a shotgun in a plastic bag is evidence that he is intellectually capable. And that as a boy, he played pool for money. He mowed lawns for money, showing that he has adaptive skills. So there was evidence on both sides, but it's a close question. And the state court trial judge says using contemporary medical evidence he's going to spare Mr. Moore from execution. The Texas's highest court says different, says we're going to look at older medical standards. We're going to put Mr. Moore back on death row.
What makes this a bit more complicated is that the sort of textbook approach to determining whether somebody is too intellectually disabled to be held responsible for murder is based on the DSM, which itself is, I guess, not exactly arbitrary, but you cannot do a blood test or an MRI for this issue. It is itself a consensus, an ever-changing consensus, of mental health professionals. So is this a case of the rather squishy DSM versus the rather squishy Lenny standard?
That's a good way to think about it. When the Supreme Court said you can't execute juveniles, all you needed to do was figure out if someone was over or under the age of 18 when they committed their crime. When you say you can't execute the intellectually disabled, it's a much tougher bright line test. And the justices are struggling with, and the Texas Attorney General is telling them, that listen, you got to give us some leeway. You can't outsource this entirely to medical professional associations who are generally opposed to the death penalty and who may be fashioning their standards in a way to make it harder to execute people. That if there's an evolving standard of decency, as the court has said, in the application of the Eighth Amendment's bar of cruel and unusual punishment, it needs to be a societal standard, something that everybody agrees about, and not something you outsource to a medical group.
Finally, John Steinbeck himself is long dead, but his son, before he died, weighed in on this question. What did Thomas Steinbeck have to say?
Thomas Steinbeck was furious on behalf of his dad. He said, the character of Lenny was never intended to be used to diagnose a medical condition like intellectual disability. You hardly think that sentence needs to be uttered, but, we're in Texas. Steinbeck continued, I find the whole premise to be insulting, outrageous, ridiculous, and profoundly tragic. And John Steinbeck, as you know, Bob, was a complicated character. And what his son said about him was, I am certain that if my father, John Steinbeck, were here, he would be deeply angry and ashamed to see his work used in this way. And the last thing you ever wanted to do was make John Steinbeck angry.
Adam, as always, thank you very, very much.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Adam Liptak covers the U.S. Supreme Court for the New York Times.
Coming up, our last episode in Busted, America's Poverty Myths. This is the epilogue in which we present the Breaking News Consumer's Handbook to Poverty Coverage.
This is On the Media.